Podcast number two, July 11th, 2019. Joe Kelly with his dad, Bill Kelly, expert handicapper. And he's joining us from Las Vegas, where all the action is. And we are here to talk about the beginning of Saratoga's 40-day meet starting early this year. And mixed bag of weather, but it's awful nice to see things happening up in the Albany, Saratoga area. So how you doing, Dad?
I'm doing fine, Joe. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, great to talk to you.
It's really hot out here. I think it's 108 today.
I'll stop complaining.
Yeah, right.
But so air condition is a must, right?
Absolute must.
Right, right. So we talked a little bit about the Saratoga meet and how to be prepared. How exactly do you get set for one of the toughest meets around? What are some of the things that you do to get ready?
Well, I look at the the past history as best you can. I keep track of DRF comes out with their what to look for or some of the other people, and I read everything. The thing that surprises me is that in the research was that basically on the turf, it's very much an inside bias on both turf points. The outside course, the melon course, is you can do better from the outside, but those sprints, the mid gates, meaning like 4 through 7, are really dominate,
Mm-hmm.
So, and then on dirt, it's inside seems to do well also,
Right.
So I think you have to be flexible. There's no question that the track up there is totally different than Belmont. And that track changes, changes
right.
Even throughout the day, like today. I mean, it was fine in the early races, and then all of a sudden started raining, and I left, and I didn't see race 8, 9, and 10, and apparently they had to take everything off the turf when that happened.
They did for the last race.
Yeah, I mean, when that happens, it just destroys the entire card, you can't, if you've got a pick six or something like that, how do you put it in not knowing what the weather's going to be?
Right.
So in any event, that's my thought. I thought today was early on it was, boy, you had to be, the first few races, you had to be on the lead, mm-hmm. And then after that, there were races that, particularly on grass, where people came from, let me just look at my notes. The race 4, the 2 came from off the pace. Race 5, the 5 came from off the pace.
Then you had,
Race 6, the 8 was a dead last, came, beat me there.
And then race 7 with Rosario, that with the
crash.
Yeah,
that was way off the pace too.
Yeah.
So I, that's what I'm saying. In the first couple of races, the 2 wired, the race 2, the 2 wired. Race 3, the 3 wired, and the 6, excuse me, that was, one of the, it was Brown's horse, hung like a chandelier,
Right.
Kept looking at the stands. So, I don't think there's, the horses, there wasn't really a lot of surprises, I don't think.
No, then I think the horse you talked about coming from dead last on the 5.5 turf sprint.
He was the favorite.
Okay.
That was
Maybe I'm talking about the wrong. Oh, I'm talking about the, sorry, this, I was talking about the sixth race. Okay. You're talking about Rosario.
Okay. That's right. That was a five furlong. The six, the eight, the eight came from dead last.
So you talked about the track changing and everything. Looking tomorrow, and you just, like you said, you have to be flexible and have the pedigree and past performances for drying out tracks, maybe muddy, which probably plays different than a sloppy track today.
Yeah, well, I don't, I mean, it, I think that the tracks have a tendency to dry out pretty quick there. So if you look at the weather, it looks like it's the rain has moved through there and it's going to, you know, whether they get any sun or what, but it doesn't look like rain particularly early tomorrow, does it?
No, I think it's going to end sooner than it's going to end here in Connecticut. So,
yeah, I saw down in, I'm looking at Charleston on the tube right now. It's all wet there. Okay. Saratoga Springs, looking at the weather map now, it's raining now, light rain through midnight, still light rain. Then it's going to this is a forecast, 1 a.m. It's just going to be cloudy. And see, the problem, this is where you get into problems, is that it's going to be mostly cloudy in the morning, you know, so the afternoon looks, it's partly sunny about noon. So, you know, I would think that tomorrow will not be muddy. I would say that it may start out good and then go to fast. The turf course will probably have a little give in it, but should be, you know.
Kelly, recapping a bit on the opening day early of Saratoga's meet, and it will go through Labor Day with a five-day a week thing, rest between Monday and Tuesday. And why don't we talk real briefly before we kick into today's action, maybe get some pointers on what happened, but the 5 days as opposed to six, and having Monday and Tuesday as dark days. Are you pro or con yet?
Well, I'd like to go seven, but it doesn't affect me at all one way or another. I'm not quite sure. I guess there's a concern about the amount of horses available. I know the concern out here in California is more than concern. They're very much, Los Alamitos race, they had to cut. They were supposed to race today. They couldn't get enough entries, you know. So it doesn't bode well for Del Mar. Look at today. I don't think I've ever seen a Ben Cecil horse show up at Saratoga.
Yeah, the name that we're using is not in the entries over here.
Yeah, there are quite a few. I mean, O'Neill had what, two or three horses today?
Yeah, he had two in one of the stakes. You know.
And, you know, some of them may be there. I think it's some of the crazy rules that they're instituting out in California, and people don't even know what the rules are, you know.
Right.
And, they've got this five-man committee now that the tracks that can just say, no, we're not accepting your entry, with no reason. I mean, they haven't even given a reason why they banned Hollendorfer. I saw a tweet today from Tom Proctor, you know, who's normally, he's all over the country, but he's out here in California. And, these guys are moving away, you know. And they're taking their horses with them.
Yeah, so it's, time is really changing, and I guess we'll see more of the West Coast trainers. Maybe Tom Proctor entering some of the horses at Saratoga.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he is anchored here, although he does show up for the big races around the country. So, I mean, it's, but he's an excellent turf trainer.
Right.
You know, so in any event, where do you want to start?
Well, let's give a recap of today. We'll go race by race and maybe make a few observations. The first was a really toughie as far as distance and not a lot of experience with these horses going that distance. In hindsight, how do you approach a race like this, or is it something you usually want to pass?
Well, if I was smart, I'd pass it. But I had picked the six and finished second. So, but the two just, see, the problem I have with races like this is that the two, if you looked at his past history, was not a front-running horse.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And all of a sudden, the jockey decides, or the trainer decides, hey, I got a real, there's no speed here. And takes off and wins, but for fun, you know.
And so he has a jockey who's not necessarily known as a front-running jockey in Irad Ortiz.
Yeah, no, but I mean, so he must have gotten a word from somewhere, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the horse was yelled. You can't forecast that. I mean, how do you know?
So, yeah, and it was a relatively short price too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Remote. Well, I mean, he's a well-known horse, but. He ran differently than you would expect, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, the horse that should have been in front was a six, and he was nowhere. He came later on, but he wasn't on the lead. The two broke first and kept going.
So the puzzles are many out there.
And yeah.
Race two was the 5.5 turf sprint, won by the combo, which is probably going to rack up a lot of victories there, Chad Brown and Cassiano. And do you see, it wasn't much of an upset here.
No, it was the favorite. And, the inside on these turf sprints 5.5 have an advantage, I think. And I would say more towards the 4th through the 7th gate type of advantage, but because the inside gates 1 through 3 can get, unless they can break like this horse did, he wired the field, so, and he ran fast. I mean, pretty, if I'm not mistaken, it was like a 21 and change first quarter. And he just kept going. So he was the better horse, you can.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The prices started to move into the third race, and you were on the money with this, as you had the three as one of your choices to be on top, as well as the six for the second spot. So Vincenzo,
six. Yeah. I'll tell you, the three hung on and you know, had the rail and hung on, but the six just hung like crazy.
Right.
He should have won. No reason. And the seven was there too. So.
The Vincenzo was right off the claim from Rudy Rod into Linda Rice, always a great trainer as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a tough meet to figure some of these ones out.
I mean, you just can't you can't figure them out, you know.
Right.
I mean, and the next race here's a race where the winner came from off the pace after the first first three races were pretty much wire jobs.
Right.
But then, if I'm not mistaken, it was starting to rain at that point. Not heavy, but it was starting to rain.
Do you have a preference, or, you know, shippers, any of the tracks coming into Saratoga that you think do well?
I think that one, you have to look at the trainer. Because the trainer seems to have a big effect up there. And then I think it's important that the horse has actually worked, up in Saratoga. Those are two keys. Not necessarily, this horse is the only horse that's worked at Saratoga, therefore I'll bet him. But you give check marks for he's worked there, and horses that have done well at Saratoga have a big advantage early in the meet.
Now, as far as a good performance and doing well, what are you looking for? A first and second placing, or
I would say hitting the board is a good indication.
Right. That would take precedence over a speed number, or
unless I forecast loan speed, I think right. that having an affinity for the track is an important factor.
Okay, so let's move along right here as we're looking at, in hindsight, at Thursday's card, the fifth race halfway through the card. These are races where, you're really throwing darts at the board, but we have winning that race. Big Q for a nice price, the number five.
Yeah.
Gary Gullo and Rosario. So the works didn't really show any kind of speed, but figure. How do you figure something like
first
this?
Second, kind of both came from off the pace.
Right.
The one other horse that you can kind of toss out and give him another chance was the one, because he got left at the gate.
So maybe mark that down for the stable mail.
Yeah, I would say that, just looking at my note, you're talking about a first-time starter at one gate. It's not unusual that the horse didn't show anything,
Right.
If I'm not mistaken, the two was on the lead, right? And just faded out to fourth. Is that what
I didn't catch that one live, so.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. So I don't think, going forward, the five did close well, so maybe he's got a future.
Well, we got the sixth race, which was a New York bred allowance, 5.5 on the turf, as the rain had already come into Saratoga. And you talked about the post placings. We have a winner, nice price there, and I believe it was the five post, Light the Posse, the number eight, but was in the gate as number five with the scratches taking place. And nice win for Junior Alvarado and Charlie Baker. First time on the turf, I believe.
Who was it?
Carlton Baker.
Yeah, but what was the horse's name?
Light the Posse. Hmm. Which first try, I know they tried to get in back in October, they tried to race in a sprint at Belmont, which was taken off the turf. But I guess this horse might see some more time on the turf. Which paid out a nice price, $31.40 to
I think that was the high for the day, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, is that the one where he beat the 1A?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I had the 1A, so I was kind of disappointed.
I had the 8. That was my lone winner of the day.
Good for you. Wow.
We should have.
You got the You got the bacon then, huh?
Yeah, we should have combined our notes and we'd be talking about both having a win.
Yeah.
So
then the eighth race.
Seventh race. Yeah, no problem. That I actually did have the winner, but that was a small price. But yeah, nice ride by Rosario, right?
Yeah, that was the one that disappointed. I had the second, third, and fourth horse. I didn't have the favorite.
Right. And I didn't think, I thought, okay, today's not his day. It was like 51 and change on the half mile, and he was way back. Yeah.
I mean, you look at it, and he came from off the, he came from dead last, dead last.
Right.
And nosed out the 11th. So, I had to go out, so I didn't see the results of the 8th and 9th and 10th.
Right. I'll give you a little recap on Comico in the 8th. It was a pretty good race as far as the Schuylerville. That was your West Coast buddy, Mr. Doug O'Neill, that took the big prize over there.
Well, when you talk about trainers who ship in like that, and do you have West Coast trainers coming in? Was that a grass race? Or no, that was a dirt race.
Yeah, it was a Schuylerville. Yeah, the 2-year-old graded 3 stake.
Yeah, so the that was a. I mean, you have to look at. I mean, that's why I was kind of hot to trot on Ben Cecil's horse. These guys don't normally. I mean, O'Neill, I don't know how many horses he had up there. I know he's. Did he run Nyquist up in that?
Yeah, I think so. The while back, right?
Yeah. And but he's not known for bringing horses. He's more of a Del Mar guy,
right?
So, but with things changing out there, it was good. He was a good bet to do well there. And what happened?
The ninth race was. 3-year-old quick call, the grade 3, 5.5 on the turf. They still remained on the turf. And I thought I was looking good with a long shot with number 9, Neverland Rock, with Rafael Santana aboard. But things fell apart, and the favorite, Listing, won the race.
I had Listing. So I got my 460, went home.
There you go. That was your Ben Cecil.
Yeah, that's the Ben Cecil one. Yeah,
the Ben Cecil. So, yeah, well, it was a pretty good race. It was the Linda Rice Electronic, which was 11-1. So, they dismissed one of the best sprint trainers, which happened. Yeah,
that sounds like something I would do.
yeah, you're just like, 11-1 on a Linda Rice sprinter on turf.
Yeah, so, how did the Listing? Go to the lead, where was it?
No, he came from behind.
Yeah.
The 9 Neverland Rock was up there. The 1 was on the lead in the beginning, the Wesley War horse. A few of those horses were trying the turf for the first time after having success on the dirt. But
that's always tough,
Yeah.
You just have to play the trainers. And then the 10th, boy, I see that the 10th,
was it an actual race? Yeah, I think
so. The 12 did win that race, huh?
Yeah, 12-2-6 was the order of finish. All three hit the board.
When I looked at my results, they only listed the 12, and I'm saying, what happened to the others?
Yeah, I guess what they refunded the place and show. Yeah, not the best race to wrap up opening day, but there's going to be
But it's very typical up there. They have thunderstorms quite a bit in the late afternoons, and yet we keep putting turf races out there, you know.
Yeah, so maybe something for those in charge of carding the races to think about in the future. But I think everything's pretty much set for the meet as far as
good,
you know, the races. But so anyways, pretty nice start to the meet, and it looked like there were a lot of fans on the grounds and a lot of money being set in from all around the world. So did you want to
take a look tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, actually, I'm going to talk about a horse that, I don't know, I'm giving a little bit of a chance in race one, which is a maiden claiming a mile and an eighth on the dirt. The number three with
Derby members,
Kendrick Cumbers and Danny Gargan. I like the way it's been working. Also, Gargan from turf to dirt is a great trainer. And also, I like the Unbridled Song underneath with the mare. Pretty good. It should have some moisture in the track in the beginning of the card, I think.
Yeah, I would say you have to. But yeah, I mean, people should be flexible. You're going to have to wait to find out not only what the track looks like, but how is it, you know, riding, you know what I mean? So you gotta be somewhat flexible there. It's an interesting horse. Should be the only problem there, and I would the only negative I see is the jockey is cold. You know what I mean? He's been cold over the last few weeks, so.
Right. So that might be a few pegs down, right?
Yeah, I would. What I would say is, hey, he goes off at 6-1 or higher, you know, good. You know, I mean, that's fine. The favorite is the five, right? And he's no great shakes.
Right.
He's got speed, but I mean, there's no reason to think he's gonna. I mean, he's turf to dirt. He's got Irad and he's got Pletcher, so.
Right.
And then the eight is the other second favorite. And, you know, he's dropping into maiden claimers coming off turf. His breeding says he can run on dirt, but, you know, who knows? And he's got that guy, C. Brown? Is he any good?
Cecil Brown? Yeah. Yeah, I think he just doesn't pay well. No, I'm just kidding. That's a low blow.
He doesn't pay his people either.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, it's you're getting so used to seeing him from the clubhouse box coming down and to the winning circle. I mean, yeah.
But he's definitely not as good on dirt as he is on turf.
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, he's good, but on turf he's deadly.
Yeah.
Which means that he's a good trainer, but he also has owners that specialize in getting them good turf horses.
So this might be a kind of last desperation thing. I mean, the owner, Peter Brandt, they spent good money on this horse, and maybe this is like, hey, it wasn't what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a for sale sign on him.
Yeah, yeah. It was the sale was
for take me. Somebody will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we'll see how that race goes. We're moving along, and hopefully this stays on the turf. It's a maiden New York bred inner turf race, and you were mentioning before the inside posts are pretty advantageous. But how do you see this race in advance?
Let's just looking at it quick. I would say that the five certainly is a candidate, and the three obviously made a big jump in speed off his initial dirt. There doesn't seem to be the only basically speed horse in the race is the seven, right? So.
Well, the one showed speed on the dirt, but had a rough start.
Yeah.
But that one just has traffic trouble at all three all three spots that it ran. Yeah.
So I would tend to think that would be suspicious. You know, it sounds like, well, he ran okay on turf.
The one. Hey, yeah, that's true. Down at Belmont, you're right.
Yeah. So I mean, not that that's a great endorsement, but he's dropping. He's not dropping. I had the 5 and the 8 as the two horses in there to keep an eye on. So.
Okay. So most likely, if the run on turf, there's going to be some give to the turf.
Yeah, I would say not a whole lot, but there'll be some given over. And basically, none of these horses will run on that anyway. So.
So when you see a race like that, and you're trying to figure out, well, who's going to do well in yielding or turf, and they have a run on it, how do you approach that?
A price has a lot to do with it. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to get paid decently, you can take a chance. You know,
right.
If he's a favorite, and you know, there's no money involved, why pay? Why play?
Yeah, right.
So, many questions.
Exactly. So we're going to go move along to Friday's race three, and it's an allowance, a mile and a 16th on the Mellon turf. We've got, if it runs on the grass, we've got only six contestants in this. And what do you see as people should be leaning towards?
Well, I had the 5 and the 6 earmarked here, but I would say that the 5 is certainly a factor. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a big close. He's going to come from way off. So if that's okay. And the 6 is kind of a tracker and should be, he's had decent speed. So the 5 and the 6 look good. Anybody else you saw there?
Now I'm looking at your 5 and probably a good underneath, you know, 8 times in second out of 15 starts. So it should be somewhere in there.
Yeah. I mean, a horse like that is, you definitely try to use him. He should be close to the favorite. They've got the 3 as the favorite. Let me look at this 3. He's another one that likes to finish second. So I would say that the 3 and 5 may be underneath, and the 6 could be the story there.
Right. And Conquest Hard Candy has it's run pretty well, even in competitive.
Yeah.
You know, some of the stakes races. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, he shows a tendency to be coming in second.
Right.
So you might have a box there because they're all kind of don't like to have their picture taken.
Right. So race 4 is a lower level claiming race, 12,000 claimers, 7 furlongs on the dirt. And do you look at horses cutting them back a bit? In these type of races,
I'll tell you. At Saratoga, I've had good success with horses that go from 8.5 furlongs cut back to 7. So you know that really seems to be a good, like the 3,
right?
Coming from Arkansas. Deodoro is always a trainer you want to watch, you know. Mm-hmm. He usually comes in with a purpose, not necessarily to Saratoga, but this is a pattern that I like. He's going from 8.5 furlongs to 7 furlongs. So is the 4.
Right.
But he's a dead closer. So, and again, it's Joe Sharp, another cagey and good trainer. So those are, you know, the 3-4, the this horse, Big Money, or Big Muddy, Big Muddy.
Right.
I thought it was Big Money. He looks, he won his last race. He's moving, he's basically staying in the same class. You know?
Right.
So, I would say it comes down to 3-4.
3-4, okay. We're continuing along here. Saratoga's second day on Friday, and this is going to be another one that's going to have to dig a little deeper, or maybe watch the board, or listen to some sharpies, but
always
wrong information. We've got the, what's that?
Always watch the board.
Right. So we've got 2-year-old maidens, 5.5 on the dirt, and you saw the 1 and 4. Is that your top picks?
I had the 1 in there, yeah. But again, I mean, you know, this is like throwing darts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's Todd Pletcher and Velasquez, and who's the 4? The 4 is Asmussen and his barn rider, Santana. So,
Santana, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, you could be on any horse here. I don't think there's any horse that... That necessarily is shown any great. I mean, the two came almost one is opening up, you know. So you have to give the 2 a shot. Mm-hmm. You know, Engelhardt. You know, it's funny. Engelhardt a few years ago couldn't get arrested at Saratoga. Now he's
right.
Now, you know, he's a hot trainer. So. The horses that have run, he looks like the horse that would give the 1 and 4 the most trouble.
Yeah, I was reading, actually, I don't know if you read the Saratoga special from the Clancy guys, the brothers, the daily newspaper that they have online.
No,
it's pretty good. I'll send you the link, but they actually, their first issue today, they had an interview with Engelhardt, and he went through all his horses, which were, you know, in the barn looking to run at Saratoga, and it was pretty interesting. But I had a question: do you take any stock into them talking about their own horses?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I mean, when they're 2-year-olds,
right?
Young horses, yeah. I kind of listen to that, and then I look at how they've been working and stuff like that, but. I'm not big on listening to trainers,
right?
Or jockeys.
Yeah, that's right. So we've got it. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say they. It's not that they lie. It's just that they're not going to say anything bad. You know.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for the first trainer to say, "Hey, I'm just out there for exercise." You know.
That'll be a first.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're progressing, and this is the $50,000 claimer on 1/16 on the inner turf, race number 6, Friday at Saratoga. And we're hoping these all hit the turf, but a lot of main tracks entered in here. But supposing it runs on the turf, how do you see things progressing on this one?
This is a pretty open race. This is again. I had the 1-4. No, I'm looking at the wrong race. Excuse me.
Yeah, you submitted the 7.
Yeah, we're in which race? Are we?
Race number 6.
6. Okay. Yeah. My computer kind of. I had a good look and gave a lot of. Look to number 7. And this horse, I would definitely say you have to play both ways. And depending on the price, if he's 3-1, I'd play him to win, and then I'd play the 8 and 9 over him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And and in both directions. You know? So that way you got the 8 and 9 and look like they've got, you know, you're going to get some price to them.
Right.
Again, this guy Hess is a pretty good trainer. I've known him out here. He's deadly when he brings in DeSormo to ride his horses. And then, of course, Cassie's, he's always on fire. You know?
Right, right. So that should be a really good race.
Should be a good race. Anybody else you thought?
No, I was looking at actually the 8 and 9 as well. So as for prices, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They look like possibles. The other one that probably shouldn't be overlooked is the 11.
Okay. So that is race 6. We've got a few more to go on Friday. We've got a turf sprint again. A lot of turf sprints. They love them up in Saratoga. And this one's another. You have a nice price horse in Noble Jewel, the number 6, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He ran a pretty decent opening race. I would think that horse was someone you want to keep a good eye on. And he's got Rosario, who's off to a pretty good start.
Yeah, nice day for him.
The one thing I noticed today, just going back, the race that Rosario ran, and it was still fast and everything else, but man, he came back with dirt all over him. The horse, both he and the horse. I mean, it just... The kickback must have been ferocious.
Wow, yeah.
So, I mean, at first I looked and I said, geez, is it muddy?
Right.
Sloppy. And I'm looking, no, they still got it fast. But he was caked in dirt.
Wow. And then it turned into...
The other horse I had on here was another first-time turfer, number 9. And... his first race, which he won, a maiden race, was taken off the turf. So, you know, and they really want to get him on the turf. So I said, Egglehart, you know, maybe he knows something and give him another shot.
And then that is the 7th at Saratoga. And we're progressing. We got a few more races to go.
Okay.
So moving on to the 8th, which getting my notes here as well. Moving around here in the studio. This is a mile and an eighth allowance race, a New York bred race.
Mm.
So you're looking at as kind of formful in this one?
Yeah, I was I had landed on the favorite, actually, the 6. So I didn't see a lot going for the longer priced horses, you know.
Right.
I thought this was a pretty handicappable race. The public's got, you know, the... It looks like they've got it pretty well sorted out. 256.
Okay.
That's a box there.
And the number 9 race, this is the lone graded stake race on the card, which is the Forbidden Apple Grade 3. It looks like a really nice race. Chance to make some score in there possible.
Mm-hmm. I came back with the 3 and the 6, and doesn't take a genius to figure out the 6 belongs. He's Chad Brown's horse with IRAD up.
Yeah.
And together they're only winning at 26%, you know, so. That horse I put in there, and then the 3, was Mike Maker's horse.
Right.
But he's got Saez up, who's not, who, you know, Saez has done pretty well. Mm-hmm. But he's not necessarily the horse, the jock that Mike Maker does well with, you know.
Yeah, only a 5% combination of the two of them, right?
And of course, you got to keep in mind that the four. I mean, the four is also Brown and got Castellano up. So he looks like a horse that, you know, you got to watch out for. You know, and he may be the longer price of the two. And so you want to look at him. Well, who else did you have in this?
This one, I actually, to be honest, I didn't look too much at, so I would just be guessing.
Just look but at,
Oh, go ahead.
Just
yeah.
look at, I mean, looking at anticipated pace, the seven is going to be out there winging, you know?
Right.
So, you know, I mean, he should be. But he's looks like the bloom is off the rose there at the end of last year. But here's a horse that's 4-for-4 on the inner turf. So word to the wise, really.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You can't forget about
horse for course up at Saratoga. Yeah. I mean he. He's proven. I mean, he's a he's a five-year-old.
Yeah, five-year-old.
So you got to keep in mind. And it looks like not that Linda Rice specializes in this, you know, long layoffs, but the horse certainly is specialized here. So you got to keep an eye on him. And then I was just flipping through and seeing if there was anybody else. I mean, right. You look at the three. Now, the three is what? He's morning line 8-1. I mean, if he's anywhere near that quote, you got to give him a look, because the horses run three times at Saratoga and finish second twice. You know, so, I mean, he's going to be in the mix there, you know.
Right.
We have to think.
And Irad Ortiz is back with Chad Brown, so that's his first call. So maybe just a matter of just, hey, you got to find somebody. And Saez, pretty good jockey. So Hembree, 8-1.
Yeah, he's a good jockey, and he's decent on the turf. It's just that he hasn't had great success with Mike Maker necessarily. Yeah, right. And the other horse that looks like something might be the two, you know, with Cassie's horse with Hosea, you know, so maybe an Ortiz Exacta could be working here.
There you go. And one of them, 10-1 and 4-1.
Yeah, so
we'll see if those prices stick, but that race is sure to be on the turf.
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, other than that, it's then you go for the darts.
That's it. Yeah, which the final race of the day may be as we wrap up with the main and claiming New York Bred 5.5 on the turf, and this one. Might be one. It's going to take a little bit if you even get involved, right?
Nah, just looking at from the speed figure, I would say the two has got something, and the four, you know. But you can't trust these horses. The other horse is 13. It's had three better speeds. Seems to be improving.
Right.
But. You know, these short turf, I find that you don't necessarily have to discount horses that haven't shown up on turf. That, you know, if they've shown speed, particularly on dirt, they're usually a factor in these races.
And also sometimes, I mean, looking at the works, a gate work, really speedy, might be a little prelude to a good race.
So
that's a nice look at Friday's card, tomorrow's card, and this is Win at the Horses with Bill Kelly and Joe Kelly. We've been right here, podcast number two. We'll continue along next week with more Saratoga. And Del Mar, we should be talking next week too, right?
Yes, Del Mar opens up next Friday.
Yeah, next Friday. So we'll have a good take on the first day.
Yeah.
In preview of that. And yeah, great, great start. And the weather looks good this weekend. So get up there to Union Avenue and to the Spa, Saratoga. Tomorrow's Mariano Rivera Day.
Oh,
yeah.
At Del Mar?
No, at Saratoga. So he'll be up there signing autographs. And
I was just quickly looking at Saturday's card. Did you have any thoughts on Diana, race 9?
Let me check it out. I'm going to pull it up right here. Race 9, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about that before we got to say goodbye. Oh, this is Grade 1 Diana.
Yeah.
Some good horses. Rushing Fall, always.
Looks like it's certainly a short-priced horse. The other horse that's interesting is only from the standpoint of he's going to have a major speed advantage is the 3.
Yeah, I did, before we connected, I did glance at that one. And Lescano is pretty good on those early horses.
Yeah, he's good gate jockey.
Yeah.
Just looking at that, and the 6 looks like he's got some good things going for him. He's going to come, I mean, you know, underneath, I would say he's a third and fourth place horse because he comes from way, way back.
Right.
Plus the 4 does the same, you know.
So basically, 4 out of 6 horses, Chad Brown.
Is that right?
Well, yeah, I'm discounting. Yeah, you call it Brown. It's a Brown kind of day.
I'm going to have a superfector, Brown superfector.
Hey, it may happen, yeah. So I want to thank you again. This has been great talking Saratoga, always my favorite time of the year. And yeah. I know a lot of listeners enjoy it as well. It's just, you know, if you head on up there, you can have a lot of, they made some amenities for those who have a little coin in their pocket. They can go in the nice private boxes, but you know, nothing wrong with the backyard and the picnic area. It's always great back there, or just walk around the track and see a little bit of everything.
I've been to the area, but I've never been to Saratoga.
Yeah, you may never leave. you may love it so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always liked that. You know, I spent a lot of time up in Lake Placid there for a couple of summers, and I always liked that area.
Yeah, it's really nice. And
the Bears are exciting.
What'd you say?
I said the Bears are exciting.
Oh, yeah. When we used to go camping, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Hey, thanks again, Dad. Bill Kelly and Joe Kelly, Win at the Horses podcast. We will see you next week. Check out Win at the Horses, the selections, Bill Kelly putting them out there, and maybe giving you some guidance on cashing some positive tickets there. So thanks a lot, Bill.
Hey, thank you, John. Talk to you later. Joe?
Yeah, still here. Yeah,
okay. Are you still no worse than good?